And we are back. Thank you for joining us for another edition of the Daily Dots. And I am rolling solo today without the assistance of the Brain Trust himself, Mr. Chase Taylor. He is on the East Coast doing a little family getaway type or family vacay type deal. So, but he is still very much in tune. I've been texting with him today. The guy, I have to tell him, Chase, go take a break. Disconnect from markets. And he goes, well, yeah, but relaxing for me is looking at market. And I'm like, I know. But you need... anyway, so he's still very much plugged in. He and I were texting back and forth today. Not a lot going on other than Bitcoin. Bitcoin made a new all-time high, 72,000. Really interesting. I'm seeing articles today saying Wall Street analysts out saying that fears of a bubble are overblown. Meanwhile, over the weekend, you had a new edition of The Economist come out, or was it Barron's? Maybe it was Barron's that said bet on the bull. Just laughing because these are the things that always get said at ridiculous moments. But as you guys know, that is not us predicting a big rollover. When you look at the charts on all this stuff, it looks really bullish. And I think the hardest part about it is, you know, if you're in the know, you know, it's not bullish because the economy is quote unquote booming. I got a little bit rude with a guy on Twitter the other day. To be fair, the guy is seen as a bit of an expert and it's just, he's a vapid idiot. You need to put out this thing. And I don't say that to be mean, but just what drives me nuts are when people say things that are a product of them simply not understanding, right? And then presenting them as if they're professionals or they really know what they're talking about, or they present it as expertise. And he goes, you know, if anybody asks you, they don't understand why stocks are going up, just look at the earnings and the economy is booming, you know, like basically saying everybody's an idiot. And you're sitting there going, by looking at your definition, how is it possible to run deficits that are 7% the entire size of the economy and not have it booming, right? So if the argument is that these indicator things that you like to look at before they're booming, okay, granted. But the question is why? Then you look at the deficit and you go, ah, there you go. Right? Like the intellectual idiocy of it all just drives me nuts. Because you're sitting there going, look, in booming economies, you do not see 70-80% write-downs on commercial real estate. In booming economies, you do not see full-time work hours continue to decline while part-time work hours go up. In booming economies, you do not see, right, you know, credit card delinquencies and car loan delinquencies going to highs that we haven't seen since previous recession. So what that should tell you is not that the economy is falling apart. It most certainly is not. It should also tell you it's not booming. It should also tell you that there are really bizarre things going on. There are very odd cross currents, things that we would only typically see in booms. Yet at the same time, we've got a lot of things that are never present in booms. So I think a rational player would then sit there and go, okay, this is a bit different. Let's take an Occam's razor approach to this and try to figure out what fits here. Obviously, booming economy doesn't fit. There's too many things that are on the counterside of that. What does make sense? Running deficit 7% of GDP. Why does that make sense? Because it would make sense of why certain things look like they are booming, and yet those things that are untouched by that wave of government-pushed liquidity don't look good. Right. So when you tell me the economy is booming, sit there and go, well, yes, according to the metrics that you're talking about. I just think that the picture is very clear. The economy's not in good health, far from it. It's not in horrible health. But the reason it's not in horrible health is government and the Federal Reserve and the Treasury are determined to maintain artificially easy standards. So the environment we're in is not an environment that would be, you know, self-regenerating or self-propelling, right? I mean, if you quit with the liquidity injections and all that kind of stuff, I think you'd see a default cycle start. Commercial real estate would be the first deal to drop. And no, we're not getting overly worked up over commercial real estate either. Why? Because they're going to bail it out. And it's not funny to me. It's I think it's a tragic place that we're in, just because, you know, and I'm going to say something that sounds funny. It sounds like my inner financial justice warrior here. But this is all disturbing to me, even though that we're long, you know, we're doing it with a net underneath us, because this is crazy. Asset prices are clearly not reflecting any fundamentals. Yet, like we've been saying, and you see all the indicators, you know, if we're on the precipice of a big crash, it'd be the first time that the market went on to create new highs and then plummeted. Now, at the same time, I wouldn't put it past this market, because it continues to do things that it's never done before. That being said, if we look at the driver, which is ridiculous amounts of completely profligate and irresponsible government spending, I don't see it going anywhere. You saw Biden's new budget proposal, $7.3 trillion in a year. We're picking up pace, guys. Like I said, I think we all need to wake up and realize we're beyond – when are things going to return? They're not returning to normal. You can't. We will live in a juiced economy, in a government-dominated, a Fed-dominated, regardless of whether they're saying it or not, regardless of whether they're raising rates and shoving in $350 billion of liquidity on the other side. We're not going to – until this whole thing breaks, I do not think we will ever return to a normal market where governments and central banks are not in you know, constant players. And I also think that due to the commercial real estate thing coming down the pipe, that we, like I said, we continue to see more and more of it every single day. It's going to cause the Fed to cut. The fact that they're even talking about tax, the fact that Powell even mentioned tax or rate cuts the other day, in my opinion, is them showing you their hand. And why do I say? Because there are no conditions out here that warrant a rate cut other than what's going on in commercial real estate. And that's not big enough, according to even what the Fed says, to be a systemic risk. So why would you be cutting rates? You're cutting rates because you realize you can't not. You're cutting rates because the only way you make any of this government spending work, or the only way you make this balance out, is if you keep pushing asset prices higher. And that's what I was telling my good buddy Dimitri Kafinas, that runs Hidden Forces. I'm doing a Q&A with him and his genius tier folks. I'm on it too. I pay for it. I sign up for it. I think it's that valuable. Dimitri Kafinas, Hidden Forces, is one of the only things I pay for as a podcast. But anyway, he's going to have me on there, and we're going to talk about this. And the whole talk is, hey, guys, obviously, we're not talking about being irresponsible. We're not talking about saying to hell with the valuations. We're not saying any of that. We're just saying, like, look, I think until we see a shift in policy, until we see them take their foot off the accelerator, which they have not done at all, while inflation's climbing, they're talking rate cuts. Until I see a behavioral shift there, I just think the path of least resistance is higher. Because why not? And I hate admitting that. But, you know, here we are. And you just see it every single day. And today's no different. I mean, NASDAQ, you didn't have an update. NASDAQ finished red on the day, but not a lot. You know, we were down 0.41. S&P was down 0.11. Bitcoin and new highs. And that's what I'm saying. As long as these trades are still in play, as long as the Bitcoins are running, NVIDIA was down 2%. But, you know, heck of a run it had last week. again, yeah, it's going to go till it doesn't. It just doesn't matter, right? You know, Oracle just came out and announced earnings, pretty good looking earnings, right? They're on the way, I guess you'd say, of that government spending due to infrastructure spending and new data centers and all that kind of stuff. All that stuff's going to benefit Oracle. I just don't see anything that slows it down. And everybody's like, oh, it's AI. Even AI, even this whole AI thing would roll over and not be a big driver of markets based on what the backdrop is going. But as long as they keep pumping liquidity, and as long as we've got all this money chasing around, I think you're going to continue to see the stuff that's associated with AI run. And I just think we're running a big experiment here. And I think we're proving to the world that interest rates, when you're providing massive amounts of liquidity, I think interest rates only have an impact at the margin. Because interest rates can trigger a default cycle, right? It can start the dominoes. But what really gets it going is interest rates make some of these debts not feasible, right? Some of those weaker loans and all that kind of stuff start tip over. That increases supply onto the markets. Think about commercial real estate, more buildings for sale, all that kind of stuff, cheaper prices. The dominoes keep falling, and then liquidity gets sucked out of the system. When they're overriding that constantly and shoving new liquidity into the system, things keep rolling that otherwise shouldn't. So you're going to see bumps. I didn't say the market's going to go straight up. But you've got a market that has been trained to just operate off liquidity. So it's going to keep doing that. And liquidity ain't going nowhere. Rate movements were pretty flat on the day. Let's look at that. 10-year bond right around 4.1. Yield was up a tick. Gold 2187 pushing 2000. Guys, I think the biggest stories right now are gold and Bitcoin. I think they're telling two stories. We talked about this last week. I think Bitcoin is a perfect receptacle for excess liquidity. It's also a perfect receptacle for people to take advantage of excess liquidity and move assets across borders. As you continue to see more and more currency stress, I think you will see that. Bitcoin seems like a perfect receptacle for that at this point. That is not me advocating you go out and buy it, but I think you're seeing that same action in gold. Like I said, I think both of these are receptacles for excess liquidity. I also think they're both being really driven by what's going on in China, the excess liquidity they're providing. And those to me, this feels to me, there's been a moment that I've been thinking about for a very long time. And I've long thought that the true inflation, meaning the inflation that sees big moves in precious metals, where people are literally allocating capital as if inflation is somewhat of a permanent or a long, you know, a long suffering backdrop, something that's going to be with us for a while. When you actually see that switch in investor behavior, like I said, when you see gold and palladium and silver starting to break out, I've long thought that that wouldn't come until the government responded to the next crisis and the market had a eureka moment, if you will, of waking up and realizing, okay, we no longer need to be afraid of them pulling away the punch bowl. The punch bowl has become the pool, right? Meaning we swim in the punch bowl. We don't drink from it. We're in it. And because you've built a system that is reliant on ever-present liquidity all the time, artificially induced via central banks, I think it's become part of the system. And I think the removal of that would create the catastrophe that they were looking to avoid in the very first place. And so I think we're at that point. That's what I think. I think that until we see politicians or central banks or treasury departments recognize an issue, and I don't think they're going to because the imbalances are too big, I think we are officially in the inflate our way out of this deal. And it's really the only thing that explains them to continue to flood liquidity into markets and not notice what it's doing. I don't know how to understand how you look at this market and not think that there's a bubble going on. It's the most overpriced market of all time. If it's not a bubble, we've never had one. But what I think that we need to look at is not that the Fed's so stupid and they don't see it. It's that they see it and they're not acting. Why? And I think we're at that inflate everything phase, guys. So a lot of other stuff. We need to see the CPI print come out. I just think that you continue to be in la-la land and nothing matters till it does, except the fact that I think, you know, all paths point to higher stock prices, because why not? It's more fun when they go up, right? Where this all goes, guys, I don't know. We're blazing new paths every single day. We are very much off the reservation here, and I think that's why it's all about, you know, people are, you know, Dimitri was asking me, you know, what do you think about Bitcoin? I continue to believe that the way forward or the way through this is to maintain a disciplined core holding based on solvency, stocks that can benefit from inflation rather than being punished by it, undervalued, solid balance sheets, you know, paying income, dividends preferred, all that kind of stuff. And then you got to hedge those tails around it. There's just no other way to play this, because people are like, well, this is why you sit on the side. Normally, I'm with you 100%. The problem is that what's driving this market, it's not going anywhere. So we got to prepare ourselves for these conditions to last a lot longer, because unlike in previous times, the Fed isn't going, uh-oh, this is getting out of control, which is why I'm led to believe that they understand that. That they've just got to keep their foot on the accelerator. They got to try to keep inflation somewhat in check, But at the same time, they got to juice asset prices because the only way they go out from this is up. All right? They can't let a default cycle play out. It'd be too ugly. So I think that's where we're at. Dollar continues to be under pressure, but it hasn't really broke. I mean, it's broken some support, but it hasn't really made a big move. But this just, yeah, this just feels like a market sniffing out dollar weakness coming our way. So we will, maybe we'll have Chase on the program with us tomorrow. I don't know if we can connect. I will check with him. But until tomorrow, guys, we're going to wait for that CPI data that should be out pretty soon. I think it hits tomorrow. So we'll let you know how that goes. But until then, take care of yourselves. Manage that risk. And we'll see you tomorrow. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
The opinions expressed in this program are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Trek Financial, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.